Today on Real Life Radio.
Now, I don't know about you, but when people draw lines to battle against God, don't panic, Christian. In the end, the Lord gets the last laugh. The ACLU can remove the Ten Commandments out of a courtroom in America. They have aligned themselves against God. God says, don't worry, I'll have the last laugh.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now in a message called When Hell Meets Earth, Part 3. He's continuing his series called The Book of Revelation. You know, judgment doesn't have to be our future. The Lord has made a way of escape for us, and He's ready to forgive with abundant grace and mercy all those who would come to Him. Now, you see, we're told in advance that judgment is coming. Chapter 9 of Revelation warns us of the last half of the Great Tribulation. Now, this horrific time really is a difficult portion of Scripture, and those who will be there to experience it will be those who, when given the opportunity to respond to the gospel invitation, simply refused it, the one and only option to be rescued from hell. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that when hell is unleashed on earth, there's a demand for judgment. It's God's divine right to judge, it really is, and He gives this right to His Son, Jesus Christ. God did this as a response to a specific prayer from the saints who were killed for their testimony and for preaching the Word of God. And now in his message called When Hell Meets Earth, Part 3, here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Now the stuff we're going to get into this morning, you're going to be thinking, man, that sounds like a Twilight Zone. Whenever I think of Twilight Zones, there's this classic that haunted me for years. It's my favorite. Why? Because it just frightened me so. That's when William Shatner was on that airplane. You know what I'm talking about? It haunts all of you too. He looks out the window and there's that little thing on the wing taking the wing apart. Remember? It's like this. Freaked me out. Nobody else would see it. He'd look out there and then, oh, I must be imagining things. Then he looks out there and sees it again. Nobody could see it but William Shatner. These spirits that are going to come up upon the earth, I do not believe that anyone will see them. I think John, who was in the spirit on the Lord's day or the day of the Lord, judgment, saw these entities because God gave him the eyes in the spirit realm to see what's coming on the earth. That makes it worse, because these people who will be dwelling on the earth at the time who have rejected Christ, by the way, they've already rejected Jesus. This is their judgment that's coming. They will not see these entities, but will be afflicted by them. And we shall see this morning that now one third more of the earth will perish at their attacking. But this now mathematically brings us to, after starting the book of Revelation, to half of the world's population now dead by the elements of judgment during the tribulation period. Now you say, Pastor, I'm sad I came today. I'm sorry I'm even here. Look, I'm sorry I have to deliver this message, but my boss is God, and He wrote the book, and we go verse by verse through the book, and I would much rather talk about, you know, Jesus feeding 5,000 people on the slopes of Galilee. But we have to go verse by verse through the book. And we now come, listen, we now come to a time of horrific judgment. Before we go any further, let me give you some hope. Last week, I forget which service it was. It doesn't matter. There was a couple gentlemen, actually. They were related to one another. They were sitting over here, and I'm teaching along, and they were visiting. And they were grandparents of the child that was being dedicated that morning. And so anyway, the message is going on, and I just heard this morning that this one man who raised his hand, by the way, and accepted the Lord last week, he said, man, that message last week on hell, I mean, it's just scared it right out of me. And this is an older man who, listen, it's important to the message this morning. It's an older man who saw his need for Christ, stepped out of his pride. Look, for a man, that's a big deal. Right, guys? Amen. It's a tough thing. Okay? I was lost yesterday. I was speaking at a Calvary Chapel in San Fernando Valley. I was late, and it was funny because I was so lost, I didn't know what to do. And I think Satan invented MapQuest. MapQuest is always wrong. It's always wrong. So I'm trying to find this place, and it's all wrong. And then I had to laugh because there's no phone number for me to call. So then I thought, well, that's okay. I'll dial 411, and I'll get Calvary Chapel of Sylmar. That's where I was at, Sylmar. So I 411, Sylmar. Well, there's nobody answering the phone. I thought, well, man, Calvary Chapel. Why doesn't nobody answer the phone? I don't know how to get there. So I'm praying. And then I thought, if I had a phone number. And then the Lord said, you wouldn't call it if you had it. You're a man. You're too proud to call for instructions. It's true. So I'm saying, Lord, you got to help me. He helped me. I got there. I pulled up into the parking lot. 5 minutes before I was supposed to speak, I hit this thing and crashed into this wall, and it was terrible. They were laughing. And I thought my brakes were better than that. I need to get brakes. But I got out of my truck, and there were four guys standing there. And they had these big smiles on their faces. Those of you who are involved in prison ministry, listen, I know there's a lot of you. I was completely blown away. This probably has nothing to do with the message. Somehow I'll try to wiggle it in. As I pulled in there, these four guys were standing there with big smiles on their faces. I got out of my truck. They were shaking my hand, and they said, you don't know who we are, and that doesn't matter. 2 years ago, you went to the prison in Chino, and you preached the gospel. The four of us got saved. We got out, and now we're serving at this church. It was awesome. I look like a lunatic. I come flying up, crash into the wall, jump out. They tell me this great news. I could have left. My cup was full. What? You guys accept the Lord in prison? Yes, and we're serving now at this church. Nothing, it doesn't get better than that. They reacted to the message, responded to the message, accepted Christ. Thank God, like this man last week, who wasn't too old and too prideful to respond to the message he said, it scared the out of him, that he responded to the gospel. And that's good news. So in the midst of this message and where we're going, remember, if you're a Christian this morning, Revelation chapter 9 will not be your fate. You will not see these events. And I'm glad about that. If you're not a Christian, you better be careful and become a Christian today. Because here's one of the reasons why. Every day, the older you get, and you keep saying no. No to God. No. 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 You know what God does? Actually, you do it. He watches. You pour yourself concrete every day you say no, and every day you continue to say no, that concrete begins to set from the bottom up until you've reached an age or you've reached opportunities to where you've said no to Christ so much that now you're standing in cement that's hardened. You stood there so long, you rejected him so hard that now the preaching of the gospel makes you angry, makes you mad, and you won't repent. As we shall see in our study of those who have stood too long against Christ. Revelation 9, now we pick it up in verse 13. Revelation 9, 13. Then the sixth angel sounded, the sixth out of seven angels. Number six sounds, and I heard, John said, a voice from the four corners of the golden altar, which is before God. That's heaven. Saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, day, month, and year were released to kill a third of humankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fire. Jephthah, blue and sulfur yellow, and the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third part of humankind or mankind were killed. How was that? Well, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone which came out of their mouths. Verse 19, for their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents. So it's not a serpent, but like a serpent, having heads, and with them they do harm. But the rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, did not repent of the works of their hands.
that they should not worship demons, idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or of their sorceries or of their sexual immorality or of their thefts. This is a tremendous thing. We looked at 3 points in our study this morning. Number one is this: when hell is unleashed upon the earth in the latter portion of the great tribulation period to come, we see here in verses 13 to 15 that there's a demand for judgment. Church, you're not going to like this, but it's the way that it is. It is holy and it is right. I know we have a hard time because man manipulates judgment and then man creates his own definition of judgment. But the fact of the matter is, my friend, that judgment is God's divine prerogative. Judgment comes from the hand of God. God exercises judgment. It's his right. It says in verse 13, the sixth angel sounds. Remember the seven angels. And the first four trumpet blasts, they sounded. And those were plagues that had to deal with environmental disasters. Remember that? We studied that at length. Now the last three are the worst. Now we're looking at the sixth one, soon the seventh. But number 5, 6, and 7, they're horrific because they deal with spiritual entities that are being released upon the earth, invisible in nature. But note this, it's God's divine right or prerogative to judge the earth. Now, listen, you and I can say, well, you know, that guy judged me, or that church judged me, or that person judged me, or that judge judged me. Quite frankly, no human has ever been given the authority to judge according to a biblical definition. Did you know that? I hope you understand that. We do have a judicial system in this land established from the Bible by our founding fathers based upon the Word of God. That's why the Scripture often says that judges in the Old Testament will name them gods, doesn't it? And with a little g. Why? They sit in judgment over people in the place of God, but they're not God. They act in the place of God as in judges. But as a believer, you and I are supposed to look at one another's life when we say, I'm a Christian. If I announce to you, I'm a Christian, then immediately I've placed myself in a category whereby you must evaluate my life. Look, it goes this way. If I say I'm an atheist, what do you expect out of me? Yeah, good. Nothing. I can't expect anything out of you. Listen, if you tell your kid that he's an animal, that he's a byproduct of the evolutionary process, it is wrong for you to lay upon him a morality. What's wrong with you? You're trying to impose an ethic upon an animal. You don't tell your dog, sit in the corner. You know, that's wrong for you to do that. You lied to me. You were wagging your tail all the while. You were eating my cookies. You don't expect that out of your dog. Why? Who's an animal? Listen, if the evolutionary theory is right, then we're just animals. So you can't tell somebody what's right and what's wrong. You understand that's very important. Well, the truth of the matter is we are not products of an evolutionary process. The truth is that God has revealed to all mankind that he is holy and that he is judge. Amen. You and I look at one another and we evaluate based upon our belief system, atheist, evolutionist. We don't expect anything out of them except animalistic type practices, frankly. But when somebody says, I believe in God, well, now you've placed yourself in a category whereby I do now expect things out of your life. Why? Because you've put a title of yourself as being one who knows God. Are you with me, everybody? Yes. That was pretty weak. Yes. Good. Because now you have an identity. Well, the truth is, I can evaluate your life and you evaluate my life, and so we should. We inspect the fruit of one another's lives. That's good, and we should do that. That's acceptable. But never are we allowed, as the Bible says, you shall not judge another. Why? Because the word to judge is to condemn. You and I do not have the authority nor the ability to judge anyone with condemnation. You know what that means? Condemnation? If somebody's on their way to hell by virtue of their belief and practice, we cannot say to them, you're going to hell! We can say to them, if you continue like this, according to the Bible, if you die like this, you'll wind up in hell. They cannot say to you, stop judging me. I'm not judging you. This word is judging you. And the word says, if you die in your sins, then you will inherit hell. That's what the Bible says. So that's a very important thing to keep in mind. God is the judge, and it is his divine prerogative. Notice here in verse 13 that the angel sounds the trumpet and a voice is heard from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Church, do you remember where that's at? That is in heaven before the throne. Do you remember the souls under the altar? Remember, they are the tribulation saints who have died for their faith in God in the preceding 3.5 years. Those are the souls that are under the altar, but a voice comes out of the altar. What is this voice? It's none other than answered prayer from Jesus Christ himself. John's gospel tells us in chapter 5, verse 22, that the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, Jesus Christ. Revelation 6, verse 9, you can jot it down, review it later. Revelation 6, 9 through 11 says that when he opened the fifth seal, he saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony that they held, which is Jesus Christ. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then a robe was given to them, to each of them, and it was said that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren would be killed as they were, until that number was completed. Interesting. Under the souls of the altar, they're crying out, "When will judgment come to the earth?" There's a response, "Just wait. Judgment will come to the earth. Your brothers and sisters ahead of you still remaining on earth that trust Christ, believe in Christ during the tribulation period, they must die also as you've died. Here are white robes of righteousness. Wait a little longer." Revelation 8:3. "And another angel came and stood at the altar," that is in heaven, "having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar, which is before the throne of God." So we already know now what that golden altar is all about. From the altar comes a voice, and that voice has instruction. God is judge. According to John's gospel, as I read earlier, chapter 5, 22, Jesus is the judge. You know, I don't know. Again, I confess, I watch too much news, and I wind up sometimes maybe getting overcome. You know, you look at it and it's like, what is going on with this world? Have you guys, is this world nuts? Yeah. It's nuts. Psalm 2, listen to this. Psalm 2, it's 3,000 plus years old. Listen to this. Psalm 2, verse 2 says, "The kings of the earth have set themselves against God." Can you imagine governmental leaders setting themselves against God? Who would do that? "And the rulers take counsel together." Can you imagine a little huddle from hell? "Hey, come on. You guys, come on over. Let's get in a huddle from hell. Let's see if we can overthrow God. He sits in the heavens and rules all the universe." "They took counsel and they gathered against the Lord and his anointed." That's Jesus Christ. And this is what they say. Psalm 2, verse 3. "Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast them from us." Let's get away from God and remove him from our society. "He who sits in the heavens, though, shall laugh." Isn't that great? I find comfort in that. People are fighting against God. Oh, you know what? Like Nimrod. Remember Nimrod? He'd get up there, built a Tower of Babel, gets his arrows out, shooting God out of heaven. What a nut. I wish God would have grabbed the dirt and went, whoosh. See that thing? Oh! But God had another plan. "They took counsel against God. God who sits in the heavens shall laugh. He shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath." That time is yet coming. It's the tribulation period, the time of his judgment. "And distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill in Zion." Where's that? We just got back from there. Jerusalem, Zion. Jesus will rule and reign from Jerusalem. "I will declare this decree. The Lord has said to me," here it is, "you are my son. Today I have glorified thee." Is that not awesome? "He shall have them in derision. The God of heaven shall laugh at their plans." Now, I don't know about you, but when people draw lines to battle against God, don't panic, Christian. In the end, the Lord gets the last laugh. The ACLU can remove the Ten Commandments out of a courtroom in America. They have aligned themselves against God. God says, "Don't worry, I'll have the last laugh." That's tremendous. I'm sorry, do you work for the ACLU? It's not American, it's not civil, there's no liberties, they're taking them away, and it's not even a union, ACLU.
The American Civil Liberties Union?
It's crazy.
They'll come after you if you stand for God. It's normal. But the Lord, know this, will have his last laugh.
Do not take counsel against God. Psalm 9, verse 7. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in his righteousness. That's going to happen. A second thing that we see here, not only God's divine judgment is of his prerogative, but another thing, verse 14, is that God's judgment is his resource. It's a tool of his. And I know we don't like to consider judgment. None of us like judgment, but the truth of the matter is God is holy. Now, you guys, I got to warn you right now. Hang on here. This is amazing stuff. Verse 14 says, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, look at, release the four angels who are bound in the great river Euphrates. What?
Okay, is the river Euphrates real? Anybody? Ask anyone who just got back from Iraq. It's real.
But listen, what's he talking about? Is he talking about, are we going to, you know, can we take like a snorkel and fins and see four angels bound in the river Euphrates? If you took a deep breath and dove down there, what would you see? Can you imagine? Hey, let's read Revelation chapter 9, verse 14, and then go swim in the river Euphrates.
Of course you wouldn't see anything. It's not because they're not there. I love how technical the Bible is. They're not in the water. These four creatures, they're not in the water. They're not swimming around. And they're not hanging onto the bottom of the riverbed. They're under the riverbed.
Okay, then what if we drill down there and look around? Can we take like a stethoscope and listen for them? No, it won't work that way. I thought you said they were down there. They are down there. Four of them. Where? Bound underneath the river Euphrates. That's creepy, isn't it? But they're there. How do you know?
The Bible says so.
Yeah, but you can't see them. Neither can you see radio waves going through this room right now, can you? But they're here. By the millions, radio waves and frequencies. Microwaves. Going through this room.
Can't see them. Are they real? They're real. But you can't see them.
What about this? Angels. Can you see angels here right now? No, but according to the Bible, for all of you who are Christians, we have at least one angel assigned to our life. Did you know that? Based upon the book of Matthew and the book of Hebrews, we have at least one angel that's assigned to our life right now. Call him your guardian angel, whatever. But he's assigned to us. The Bible says that we have at least one angel that is watching over us regarding the heirs of salvation. That's us. They're sent to protect us. You say, well, man, I got in an accident. Where was my angel? Well, it probably would have been a worse accident if he wouldn't have been working for you, you know? Think about it. Well, I haven't seen him. Doesn't mean he's not real.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Life Radio, in his message called When Hell Meets Earth, Part 3. You know, When Hell Meets Earth, Part 3 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue next time we get together on Real Life Radio.
Well, our good friend William Federer has done it again. He's written a book called Socialism, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crisis to Consolidate Control. Isn't that what it's about? Control. Seems like everybody is seeking to control you these days. Why is that the narrative? Why is that what you're hearing about on the news? And let's be honest, everybody, why is it that that's what you're feeling when it comes to your own rights and freedoms and that of your children? Because there is a group of people who practice socialism who want to control you. This is the new America unless we put a stop to it. And this book will help you do that. It will give you incredible insights and historical backgrounds literally throughout history. Which is the deep state? It is that action of control. How do we know? Well, you know what, everybody? It's been happening since Plato, and it's happening right now in our present day.
Socialism, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crisis to Consolidate Control, written by William J. Federer. It's available at jackhibbs.com for a gift of any amount. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.